Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. It's the Wednesday, August 30th episode. Brad Locke here, of course, with Dalton Middleton, as you just heard in the intro. Here to talk about high school sports for Northeast Mississippi. A lot of football, obviously, to talk about as we've got now 2 weeks in the books of high school football. How are you doing, Dalton?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, just plugging away. It's the grind. It's that time of year. Again, mostly football. You were out at some softball last night. We might hit on that later on. So plenty to keep us busy. Just a reminder before we move on that you can access this podcast in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Just click the subscribe button. It's free, and you'll get notified when new episodes drop. Again, every Wednesday, usually in the afternoon. Also, you can stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Tell your friends about it, and also follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. That also will tell you when new episodes drop, and that's just also our high school sports Twitter here at the Daily Journal. Okay, Dalton, let's just jump right into it because we've got a lot to talk about. Week two, we're going to rewind and look at some of the key results from last week's games. Let's start with the one I was at, Baldwin and Boonville, the annual Skunk Bowl. Always a good rival game there between the Bearcats and the Blue Devils. Baldwin pulled out the win 21-14. It was not the prettiest of games. And you see that a lot early in the year. Maybe that's all it is, Dalton. But it's had a lot of fumbles, some penalties, some offenses were struggling. Some of that has to do with the defensive play, sure. But still, you had a lot of quarterbacks for both teams just had trouble finding the targets. And then it got even worse for Boonville, at least, in the injury department. They had a couple of guys go down, a couple of key players, a starting tailback, William Jackson, and their starting middle linebacker and center, Hunter Bullard, both went down. I think Bullard went down in the second quarter. Jackson went down at the end of the third quarter. Was having a pretty solid game running the ball, and Boonville was still in good shape at that point, but Boonville took the lead early in the game. Baldwin finally got things together and rallied back for the 21-14 win. But yeah, Jackson ended up suffering a broken fibula and a dislocated ankle. That's probably going to keep him out for the year.
I would imagine so. Yeah.
And we just found out Tuesday that Bullard, he had an MRI. He has a tear of his ACL and meniscus, so that'll keep him out. So those guys are done for the season. And those are two of the best players that Boonville has. And Mike Maddox, the head coach there, was that's a tough deal. And that's just the latest. They've had a couple other guys that had to have surgery, guys that are supposed to be key players for them. And, Mike said, I was talking to him on the phone about it. He's like, you know, it seems to always happen to the kids that work the hardest and mean the most to your team, which seems that way. And maybe sometimes it is because, Dalton, I mean, those are the guys that are getting the most touches or being involved in the action the most. You open yourself up more likely to getting injured when you're that important of a player and are trying to do so much. Again, Bullard, two-way player. Jackson, he's carrying the ball. He's a tough runner. He'll get in there and mix it up with people. You just kind of – that's kind of the risk you take, I guess. So hope those kids recover as quickly as they can. Bullard is a senior, but Jackson, he's just a sophomore, so he'll have time to come back and try to – get his high school football career back on track, hopefully. But anyway, Baldwin ends up with the win. Again, an ugly game. Baldwin's offense struggled early, but Jondrick Robinson, the running back, you've seen him at least in practice. Dalton, good runner. They had trouble containing him. Once he got loose for a 76-yard run, that was huge there early in the third quarter. And he ended up with a good game. He ended up with 154 yards and two touchdowns on 19 carries. And then the quarterback, John Swinney, he struggled. He struggled bad. He missed on his first six pass attempts. He didn't complete a pass till like 5 minutes left in the third quarter. He did end up completing, I think, six of his last seven. And there's a big drive. They were up 15-14. Baldwin was. And they ended up marching down the field. I think it was 82 yards. This was in the fourth quarter. Took 7 minutes, 50 seconds off the clock. Swinney was hitting his receivers. Robinson was doing his damage with his legs. And they ended up scoring a touchdown to go up 21-14 late in that game. And that series right there was kind of what Michael Gray, the head coach, wants to see more of. It was the only, it was easily the best offensive series of the game by either team. And, you know, you saw flashes there of what this offense is capable of when they're clicking. And you've seen, and, you know, again, you've been out there and talked to them and seen them. You know that this offense has potential, doesn't it?
It does. You know, when Sweeney's, when he's clicking, he's really good. And then Jondrick's, like you said, he's a strong runner. Wouldn't be surprised to see him get over 100 yards every game this year.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. So look out for Baldwin there. Just need to clean some things up and be more consistent. The game you were at, Tupelo at Corinth, Dalton, this one went about like I expected. Tupelo dominates and wins 48-0. Got out of hand pretty quick, didn't it?
It did. I think Tupelo scored on their first five drives, touchdown each drive, and they forced six punts in the first half. Stephon McGlon just dominated the entire game.
Yeah.
J-Rock Williams scored the first touchdown. Stephon McGlon scored the next three. And they forced, like I said, seven punts overall, and they caught two interceptions in the second half. And like you said, with Baldwin and Boonville early on in the season, you kind of see a lot of struggles. And I didn't see that with Tupelo. They only allowed 63 total yards, 35 in the first half, less than that in the second half. So,
yeah, and you had a story, I think, on Monday about the defense, and expected to be one of the best defenses in the state. They gave up some yards and a few points against Meridian in the opener. Like you said, only 63 yards against Corinth. Now, Corinth is no Meridian, okay? I mean, Meridian's one of the best teams in the state, but still, that's about as dominant as you can get no matter the opponent.
It is, and then on offense, they really cleaned up their game. They didn't turn the ball over at all after turning it over four times against Meridian, so obviously, they didn't have to show as much or run as much, variety against Corinth, because they kind of scored at will. But they cleaned up their game a lot last week.
Another notable result, Itawamba AHS, they were involved in some shootouts last year, as I recall. They defeated New Albany 58-42. This game had some wild momentum swings. Itawamba scored the final 34 points of the game, all in the fourth quarter. So they were down. I'm bad at math here. So New Albany had a 42-24 lead, and then Itawamba scores 34 unanswered. They ended up with a lot of offense in this game. They had 423 total yards. New Albany had 391 total yards. So the Indians get a big win there against New Albany, a couple of 4A teams right there. Keep an eye on Itawamba and New Albany, too. And, they've played well early. They beat Baldwin in that season opener. Other results, just quickly to go over, Ripley defeated Kossuth 31-7. I was a little surprised by that, at least by the margin of victory there. Ripley a 4A team, Kossuth a 3A. Kossuth was our number one team in the small schools. We'll get to the polls in a minute. Or not the polls, it's the rankings. It's basically me doing the rankings with the input from whoever. Starkville defeated Oxford in a double overtime thriller, 28-21. Big win there for the Yellow Jackets. That's always a good matchup. And then another shootout, Houston beat Calhoun City 50-41. So the Hilltoppers get their first win of the year after that Pontotoc loss, bouncing back to beat a very good Calhoun City team. 50-41 again was the final there. And that game was among those that kind of shook up the rankings, which we'll talk about now. We're not going to talk about them every week, but figured I would this week, because what I basically did with some of the results we had, including Houston beating Calhoun City and Kossuth losing to Ripley and Baldwin, which was number five last week, just they didn't play that well. And so I dropped them out despite them winning. I know that's kind of a something you're not supposed to do, I suppose. But what I did is, usually a lot of times you'll do your rankings based somewhat on what the previous ranking was. But this week I just kind of threw everything out and started over. So I'm like, okay, 2 weeks in, where are we? Who's the number one team? I still don't know who's the best small school team, but I went with Houston for now. They beat Calhoun City, one of the better teams in the area in the small schools. I got Calhoun City 2, North Pontotoc 3. Kossuth dropped them to 4. They were number 1. And I put Aberdeen in there at number 5. And the Bulldogs are 2-0. Now, they haven't played the stiffest competition, but they've dominated in the two games they played. They beat the Caledonia last week 56-30. Caledonia was a decent team last year. Andy Crotwell was the coach. He's now at North Pontotoc. So, he had other teams you could have considered put it in there, including Baldwin. But I dropped them out. So don't take offense, Baldwin. Keep winning, and you'll probably get back in. entertainment purposes only. In the large schools, Tupelo still number one. West Point at number two. Bumped Starkville up to number three. Oxford down to four. Pontotoc, number five. Pontotoc has been mighty impressive. Again, despite all these injuries they've had, those guys are off to a 2-0 start. They beat Senatobia 25-22 on the road. They're on the road again this week as well. So let's move on to some of the games coming up this week. We'll look at three in particular real quick, some key games to watch. Starkville and West Point. That's one of the best rivalries in the region, in the state. Starkville, again, ranked third in our large schools rankings, and West Point, number two. Both teams 2-0. And I actually just spoke with both of the head coaches this morning, Chris Jones at Starkville and Chris Chambliss at West Point. Jones, in his first year coaching the Yellow Jackets, of course, he came over from Kemper County, where he won the 3A state title last year. He's got the Starkville off to a good start. And that double overtime win against Oxford, he said, was huge. I mean, to have that kind of win against a quality opponent early in the season when you're not, you didn't, you know, he said we didn't play our best game. And of course, they went into double overtime. They still pulled it out. So that's the kind of early season test that he thinks can pay dividends down the line. And they got some good performances from Malik Brown, Rodriguez Clark. Brown's the quarterback. Clark is the running back. And on the season, Malik Brown is putting up some good numbers, 295 yards passing with four touchdowns, no picks, and he's got 153 yards on the ground. Clark has 193 yards on the ground, three touchdowns. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. West Point, of course, has Marcus Murphy. Everybody knows about him, the MSU commit. He's got 230 yards on the season so far rushing. But they've got some other weapons, Dalton. They've got Chris Calvert, who had a good game to open the season against Columbus. And then Jake Chambliss, son of Coach Chris Chambliss, the quarterback, had a good game this past week against Louisville. So yeah, they've got more than just Marcus Murphy, and so the matchups there are just very intriguing to me. It's probably going to be, as Chris Chambliss put it, a slugfest, because you've got two very talented teams that that have been going at it for years in this rivalry. So if you're down that way Friday night, I would highly recommend trying to check that one out. Another good rival game is going to be the A game. You've got Aberdeen, as I mentioned, number five in the small schools rankings. We're going to travel over to Amory, and we'll have Melissa Metter at that game, and that's always a good one. But Amory could really use a win here.
Yeah, they could. And Amory finally got on the win column last week. They in that third quarter, they kind of exploded for, I think, four touchdowns and kind of led them over Saltillo. And then that Hunter Jones, I think he's starting to play a little well as a freshman quarterback. I think their offense is finally starting to roll. But what I think they're going to have to get working this week, you know, to win is going to be their defense. Just looking at Aberdeen, you know, they're averaging 490-something yards per game, 354 on the ground.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they're averaging 12.4 yards per rush as a team.
Wow.
So if they can go on the ground, it's going to be tough for Amory to stop them. It'd be interesting to see if they can. I think it might be end up being sort of an offensive shootout, especially if Hunter Jones and J.J. Jernigan can get rolling.
Yeah, Amory, of course, had a really good year last year. Alan Glenn is getting that program back on track. Aberdeen had a down year. They're usually pretty good. They went 3-9 last year. So this might give us an idea if they really are kind of on the upswing as a program. So, yeah, the A game on Friday night. And then real quick, the game you'll be at, Dalton, Tupelo back at home to take on Clarksdale. Clarksdale, usually a strong program. They seem to have struggled so far this year, though.
Yeah, they're sitting at 1-1. You know, they dropped one. They dropped their opener, and then they won last week against Greenwood. And I don't know how well they're going to fare against Tupelo. Just looking on paper, they're not averaging many yards per game. You know, they have just over 300 yards in two games total. So I think it's going to be tough for them. I don't know if they'll be able to hang, because Tupelo's offense is playing really well right now, especially after last week not turning the ball over at all and got the run game working extremely well.
Yeah, and, you know, you kind of wonder if all the rain we're getting, how much that will affect things. It may favor some teams over others, but it probably won't matter much in the Tupelo game because they got the turf. And Tupelo can both run and pass, so I think that probably won't be too big a factor. Okay, let's wrap up the show here real quick with our Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field of play. Start with the female athlete. Ivy Watts, Tupelo softball player, she had four hits, including two home runs, against East Union last Thursday as a Tupelo won by a field goal, 23-20. And then last night, the game you were at, Dalton, she had two home runs again, knocked in four runs as Tupelo beat Morville. You got your first look at Ivy Watts there. Pretty impressive, isn't she?
She is very impressive. You know, Tupelo was down 4-0 in the first inning. She takes the first pitch she sees and puts it into the parking lot back there behind the softball field. And then she comes in second inning, hits another two-run bomb to tie it up 6-6. And she was just impressive all around. After that, they didn't pitch to her at all. They they had two people on base. The next time she got to bat, intentionally walked her. And then the next time bases loaded, they intentionally walked her. I guess rather take one than four.
Yeah, lesson learned there. So congrats to Ivy Watts. And the male athlete of the week, Colton Osborne, the quarterback for Nettleton. He's a senior. He was 14 of 19 for 341 yards, four touchdowns, and a 33-6 win against Hamilton. He also ran for a touchdown, so five touchdowns total for Colton Osborne. He got Nettleton off to a 2-0 start. In fact, you talked with him earlier this week, didn't you?
I did. I went up to their practice and talked to them. And Colton Osborne, he's impressive. You know, I think he's got eight or nine touchdowns on the year already, and over 500 passing yards. And, you know, it helps for him having Damon Ely out there at wide receiver.
Yes.
He has 10 catches and five touchdowns on the season so far. So when I was talking to them, you know, he said he kind of struggled last year catching the ball. And then he said he's been helping Colton Osborne out, and Colton Osborne had all the praise in the world for him. You know, he's been throwing to him since seventh grade.
Yeah.
The thing that stuck out to me about Colton was just how nice of a guy he was. He said that, well, of course, every team wants a championship. His real goal this year is just to improve. You know, they won one game last year.
Yeah.
So he said if they just win two games this year, he'd be content because they improved. And as long as they kept improving every single year, he just wants to turn that program around.
Yeah, yeah. This program used to be a playoff contender for a while there. Ken Thompson, his second year now as head coach, trying to get them back in the mix. You can find Dalton had a story on that earlier in the week. You can find it there at djournal.com. So congrats to Colton Osborne as well of Nettleton, male athlete of the week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for tuning in and listening. You know, we wish we could talk about even more because there's so much to talk about, so many games, so many teams that we cover. But try to hit the highlights, and you can certainly find more coverage in your daily journal every day, and also at djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at bradlock. And once again, you can find this podcast on iTunes and your podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. And that's it. We'll be back next Wednesday. Y'all try to stay dry.